We want you to turn in your copy of God's Word to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And this will be the last sermon in this series from Genesis. And we've come quite a distance over these last three Sundays. And today, the concluding message, and the title of the message, actually a title with a subtitle. And I do that a lot. The title is Walking with God Always Requires Maintenance. But then the subtitle, A Generation of Death. Well, if you look at one, you think, well, this is kind of a positive approach to the whole matter. You look at the other, A Generation of Death, that doesn't sound too positive. But today I'm here to bring you a positive word and not a negative one. And I hope you'll follow along. Now, in truth, there's only one verse out of this entire chapter that is the text for the day. And that is the 24th verse of chapter 5 of Genesis. And when I read it, you will recognize it. You've read it before. And here's what it says. And Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more, because God took him away. It's almost like the old Star Wars episode. All of a sudden he's here, and poof, he's gone. And God took him away. Now, we don't have an account in the Scripture of anything other than that man walking with God, and God took him because of his faithfulness. And so, beginning with that thought in your mind, let's begin the sermon. When you really think about it, you consider that most anything you can think of in your mind requires maintenance. Now, maintenance is always an issue in life. And the reason for that is because everything is deteriorating. It is progressive, it's slow, sometimes it's more rapid than other things, but everything is deteriorating. Everything is passing away. And you have appliances, and then you have houses, and vehicles, and gardens, and lawns, and animals, and yes, even humans. I was telling the people Wednesday before last about an old pickup truck I have. It's a 95 Nissan truck, and it quit recording high mileage a long time ago. I don't think it goes up that high. But I noticed that on the side of the door panel, there's a little bit of rust, and I panic. And I'm thinking, I've got to have my truck painted. I'm not going to have rust on my old truck. Everything requires maintenance because it's slowly passing away. And these things that I've named are physical things. But what about our spiritual lives? What about the life that you live in Christ? Just to remind you that if you've been saved by the grace of God, you are a spiritual being. Now, when God created humankind, He breathed into the nostrils of humankind and they became a living soul. But then the process that God created was a process of regeneration. It was a process in which He was trying to call fallen mankind back to Himself. Until finally He gave His only begotten Son, Christ the Lord. And so when we open the pages of chapter 5, we have the record of the family of Adam. And that's where we started two Sundays ago. And we have the record of Adam's life and his human descendants. And as we read through that list of his human descendants, we find something very strange. It says that when Adam was 130 years of age, he became the father of a son in his own likeness. Look, for example, at the opening verses of chapter 5 of Genesis. It says when God created mankind, He made them in the likeness of God. So in original creation, that which God created in the human origin was likened to Him. He created them male and female and blessed them, and He named them mankind or humankind. And when they were created, He did the creating. And then it says, and when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness. Notice the difference in terminology there. When God created, that which He created in the human realm was in His likeness. But when God had a son, when Adam had a son, he was in Adam's image, in his likeness. And he named him Seth. What this does is really affirm what we've been talking about now for the third Sunday in a row. It affirms the fact that he passed on to his son a seed that was implanted in him and his wife Eve because of their disobedience, about which we have already talked about. And that seed of disobedience, that seed of rebellion, that seed, yeah, let's use the word, that seed of sin is passed on from generation to generation to generation. And there is a solemn refrain in this chapter that occurs over and over again, and it provides a remarkable insight into the nature of our existence. And so, as I go through these, I'm not going to read every single verse in its entirety, but you follow along in your Bible. That's why it's necessary for you to have your Bible open. And there is this refrain that occurs repeatedly. And what it does is show us a remarkable insight into the nature of our existence. Now let me talk to you just a brief moment about the nature of our existence, and then I'm going to read this. You see, we're part of the human creation, and God is the author and finisher of that human creation. But we also know that the Bible teaches us that because of the gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus, He is also the author and finisher of our faith. So we all are born because the seed of Adam, we're all born with a sinful nature. But as I said in my introduction, God has never stopped. From the fall of humankind, God has never stopped wooing us back to Himself. God always wants one thing from His creation. He wants reconciliation. So that if in my introduction I said everything is passing away, everything is deteriorating, a slow process of it passing away, this piano and this one and this organ and these pews and this carpet and these beautiful stained glass windows and the rotunda, all of it slowly is passing away. And so are we. But God didn't want that to happen. And God made it possible for the human race to die to the natural man or natural self and become a living being or a recreated human life because of His Son, the Lord Jesus. Now with that, look at this sequence of events, this solemn refrain that goes through this chapter. It says in verse 5, so Adam lived 930 years and then he died. In verse 8, it says that Enosh, Adam's son, lasted 912 years and then he died. Then in verse 14 it says, so Kenan lasted 910 years, and then he died. And then it says, so Mahalia lasted 895 years in verse 17, and then he died. And in verse 20 it says, so Jared lasted 962 years, and then he died. And I'm thinking when I read this, what part of this do I not comprehend? What part of this is a mystery to me? And Kierkegaard, great theologian, said, human life is not problem or a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be looked at. And when I read the scripture and I see that Jared lasted 962 years and then he died, I'm thinking, do I need to interpret this literally that he lived 962 years? And I'm thinking, well, why not? What would be the argument against taking it literally? But whether we do or not is not really the point. The point is that Adam and Enosh and Kenan and Mahalia and Jared, they lived and then they died. And all that can be said of these is that they were born and that they had children and then they died. It doesn't say that the world is any better or any worse for their being in it. It just says that they lived and they had children and then they died. And it is true that this is a link. This is how the writer of Genesis gives us this link between generation to generation, and just that's about it. Now, if you're like my wife and I, especially if you're over 60, one thing that we do, the first thing in the morning while we're having our first cup of coffee, is read the newspaper. And I first read the sports page, especially now, because everything you want to know about the Hokies is in the paper right now. So if you're not taking the Roanoke Times, start taking it right now. And everything I want to know about my team is in there now. And I know the stats. I got them right here. But the first thing she reads is, guess what? The obituaries, that's right. And I'm wondering, is she looking for her own name or what's she looking for? I know she's looking for people that we have known, but with every one of them listed in the obituary section, they were born, they lived, and most of them had children, and then they died. Now, how does that relate to me, Pastor? How can I plug in to what you've said thus far? Because, listen, you, my precious friends, are among the living. You're not among the dead. You're among the living. And we pray, Lord, if you would allow me to live as long as so-and-so. I've shared with you my mentor, my 96-year-old uncle who passed away just 4 years ago and was still preaching at 96 with vigor and with a voice as loud as mine, if you can believe that. He just completed another mission trip. He did something like 30-some mission trips in his life and in his ministry. But then he died. And if the Lord tarries, not to frighten you or to stir your emotions beyond what I need to stir them, but if we live and the Lord tarries, one day we're going to die. And Paul the apostle called it falling asleep. But you know that term, falling asleep, only applies to the saved person. Because spiritually speaking, we have already died to the natural self. Amen? When we opened up our hearts and surrendered ourselves to Christ who died on the cross for us, we died to the old nature. And so we go through all this list. The descendants of Adam, and they all lived, and they had children, and then they died. And so something happens, though. We turn to the second point of our message today, and then we come upon an exception to the rule. In this same chapter 5, we're introduced to another descendant of Adam, and his name is Enoch. And the highlighted verse was 24. But look at the couple of verses in front of it. And it says that when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. In comparison to all the others that I read to you a while ago, he's a young man. Man, he's having a baby in his teen years. 65. And when he was 65, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch, here it is. Here's the difference. Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years and had other sons and daughters. And altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. In other words, at 65, he has a son, Methuselah, and he still lives 300 more years. And I'm thinking, what a powerful life this man must have lived. Because it says right here that he walked faithfully with God. And he did this for 300 years, then having other sons and daughters. But then verse 24 says, and walking faithfully with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. Finally, an exception to what we have read in the course of the generations of humankind. Now, when you tune in the periscope of this man's life, it is remarkable. It's a solemn refrain. It's only one verse, but this solemn refrain says a mountain to us of information. And although he began as all of his predecessors and the ones before him, the way that he finishes up life is quite differently. And this is the source of what the real message of the whole thing is in Genesis chapter 5. Did you know that besides Enoch, which is right here in chapter 5, if you flip over, you know what the next story is going to be. Now, we're finishing up my sermons, but the next story is about Noah. And it says about Jonah that because he was a righteous man, God chose him for the awesome task and privilege of the construction of the ark that would save the faithful people. So you only have two, Enoch and then Noah. And they were faithful. And so faithful was Enoch that the scripture says that he was no more. So let's talk about this term for just a minute, walking with God. It says that Enoch walked with God and then he was no more. God just took him to heaven. Most of us have to go through the valley of the shadow of death unless he comes and calls us home before then. And sometimes walking through that valley of the shadow of the death is a horrible thing indeed. Go visit and sit by the bedside of someone that's dying of cancer. Be with somebody that you know is terminal and minister to them in their time of suffering. It's a sad thing. It's a horrible thing. You don't want to experience it. It's just something that is hard to do. But yet as Christians, we often find ourselves doing that. And it was said of Enoch that he walked with God. So if I'm going to choose, if you're going to choose as a child of the living God, saved by God's grace in Christ, what does it mean to walk with God? What did it mean when Enoch walked with God? It means that three things. You can write them down. Three things. When you're walking with God, you're walking in the same direction as God, not the opposite direction. So really, that's all. There's only two directions we're walking. One is in the direction of God, the same direction as God. We're on the same page with God. The other option is we're walking against God. We're not on the same page with God, but we're walking against Him. Secondly, if we're walking with God, we are having the same purpose as God. And what was the purpose of God sending Christ? To save lost humanity. Our purpose as a church of Jesus Christ, saved by the grace of God, is to lead other people as best we can, either through our influence or our testimony or the way we're living, to lead other people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. That's what He's given us to do. And third, we're headed in the same, to the same destination. And every one of us in here today that is saved by His grace, young and old, we're going to the same destination. Seems rather logical to me that we ought to be able to get along on earth because we've got to live with each other in heaven. Amen. Because agree or disagree, we're going to have to live with each other in heaven. And so, to walk with God means that we walk in His direction with His purpose because we're heading in the same direction, the same destination. And sometimes in the kingdom of God, Christian people do as much harm doing nothing as not doing the things that are out of the will of God. You see, we can do a whole lot of stuff as Christians and say, oh, I just think that this must be the will of God for my life. And when I hear them talk, I realize I doubt very seriously if they've prayed about that at all. The first year we were rounding up volunteers to go with us to Honduras, I asked this young lady in our church, I said, you've got a great testimony, you're a good teacher. How about going to Honduras with us? She said, I just don't believe that the Lord is leading me to go. Well, on the surface, I accepted that, but then I'm wondering, and I finally asked her, I said, have you really prayed about it? Well, no, I haven't prayed about it, but I just feel that the Lord's not leading me to go. And then I thought, it's not the Lord leading you, it's you leading you, that this is something you do not want to do. So let's be careful how we blame the will of God on God when usually we've made a decision without even consulting Him. When the Scripture says that Enoch walked with God, I believe that Enoch walked with God. And when did all of that begin, by the way? And this is the third and last point of the message. When did Enoch's walk with God begin? And the Scripture says it was when he was 65 years old. And what happened when he was 65 years old? He had a son. He became a father. I tell you, I've watched how children in a home can turn around a marriage. I've watched how children in a home can make a difference in a life. Your marriage is happy and you're having a good time. And I know my wife and I enjoyed the first years of our marriage. But there was no enjoyment like unto that first child that was born. And I think that was the turning point in Enoch's life. And from the time God blessed him at 65 with that child, he began to walk with God. And he walked with God for the next 300 years. And walking with God for those next 300 years, the reward and bounty of his walk with God came to fruition. And the scripture says he was no more. He was just taken to heaven. Now, here's what I want to say to you, a couple things in conclusion this morning. We could call that very verse the conclusion and leave it at that. But also, there needs to be something more said as an addendum to our lives as individuals who are part of Withful Baptist Church. And what it is that we just have to consider, how's the walk going? How's the walk going? I was telling you about hiking up Bays Mountain last Friday. And, you know, when you're hiking to the top of a mountain, and they say at the bottom, the distance from the bottom to the top is 2.7 miles. And I thought when I saw the sign, it said, Fire Tower, 2.7 miles. I thought, man, I could do that standing on my head. That's nothing. We walk that every day. But we don't walk it up the hill. And we don't walk it on the switchbacks. And we don't walk it on those inclines that are steep and rough and stony and rocky. And 2.7 miles up a mountain is a little bit different than 2.7 miles on a walking track over at the rec center. But if you're going to make it, you walk with it and you do with it and you go and you walk. And friends, you've chosen to be a child of God. Nobody forced that on you. Oh, yes, they did too. My parents manipulated me into that. No, that revival preacher, he was so high pressured that sometimes I think I made the decision too early. But what about the time since then? And every Sunday you come to worship, you have an opportunity to renew that commitment to the Lord. And you have an opportunity to say, my choice beginning today is to walk with God. And one day, he's just going to take me. And it could be instantly, it could be progressively, but in the meantime, your life is like mine. It requires some maintenance along the way. I love these television programs. When I'm flipping and I pass by one of these, I call them slop operas. I know that's offensive to some of you women that like the soap operas. But have you ever noticed, here's a man and his wife, and probably a man and his wife, I'm not sure, but they're in bed together and they're waking up. And when she raises up off of that pillow, her hair is in beautiful fashion. And she's got lipstick on, and she looks like a hottie. And that man, he raises up out of that bed, and every hair is in place. And I'm thinking, how's this happen? It's Hollywood. That's how it happened. Do you look like that when you wake up in the morning? Good Lord. I wake up in the morning and I look in the mirror and I go, yuck, who is that? Life requires maintenance. And we spend millions of dollars in this country every year to buy makeup and hairspray and hair coloring and everything imaginable to make us look good because we maintain. And we want to be presentable to other people. And I'm just telling you in conclusion today, friends, we need to concentrate an equal amount of time maintaining our spiritual lives and walk with God. The scripture says that Enoch walked with God and then he was no more. That's us. We choose to walk with God, and one day we'll be no more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how gracious you are to point out areas of our lives where we really do need some maintenance, some improvement, where we really do, Lord, need to be all in all that we can possibly be by your direction. And so, Lord, I just ask today that this would be a time of self-examination from this pastor standing here in this pulpit to every person in these pews. What areas of our life need some maintaining? What can we do to walk with you instead of against you? To be within your purpose instead of our own? Because we're all headed in the same or to the same destination. Help us, Lord, to be that. In Jesus' name, amen.